Just for my own curiosity, how many of you brought a Bible with you to church? You really have a Bible. Raise them high. Okay, a few of you. Now, how many of you brought a personal device with the Word downloaded on it? Okay, well, good. Well, whether you have a Bible or a device with the Bible on it, it's the Word of the Lord we have in our heart that makes a difference. And I love to bring a Bible to church still, and here's why. Every time I open this book, God opens His mouth. And if you need to hear the Word of the Lord today, listen closely. It's easy to hear from God. In Psalm 27, in verse 13, David the psalmist said this. He said, "I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." David, the great king, the great psalmist, said, "There was a time in my life when I was so discouraged, so distressed, that I would have given up. I would have fainted. I would have thrown in the towel, except I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord while I'm alive." Now, everybody who believes in God knows absolutely that when we get to heaven, the goodness of God will be all around us. But David is giving us good news here. We don't have to wait until we die and go to heaven to experience the goodness of God. David said, "I believe I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Right now, while I'm alive, He's good to me. And I want to talk to you this morning about the absolute certainty of God's goodness. Just how capable is God when it comes to blessing you? We have been talking for the last two or three weeks as we're going into a new year, what God might have for us this year. He may have something for us we've never even thought possible, and this is the year He's going to give it to us. We've looked at the Word that God has always been good to His children. Our ancestors, the children of Israel, under Moses' leadership, wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years waiting on God's promise to come to pass. Don't you know they got weary and wanted to give up at times? But they believed in the goodness of the Lord. And God spoke to them at the end of that 40 years and said, "These 40 years you've wandered around and you have lacked nothing." God was good to His children even back then. Can you name one thing God has not gotten you through? No. The very fact that we are here today is a witness and a testimony that God's goodness has been with us. And He's gotten us through everything right up to this very present moment. Then we've mentioned this. You will never have a need God will not meet. And I remember this all started as a stirring in me. And I discovered a verse of Scripture that exploded, changed my life. And I'm giving it to you, but I couldn't talk about it for a while. I had it in here, a revelation. And I told Pastor Steve and Lisette here at the office one morning a few weeks ago, and then I think I shared it with all of you. God is giving me a revelation. I've got it. I just don't have the words to deliver it yet. It's in here. I'm pregnant with it, but I just don't have the words yet. Until I discovered this verse of Scripture, I believed that the 100-fold blessing of God is as good as it gets. I was raised in a camp like you were probably, and the 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold blessing, the 100-fold blessing to me represented the maximum of God's blessing for my life. That was the cap, 100-fold. After all, when you're in school and you take a test, 100 is the best you can get. It doesn't matter if there are 2 questions on the test, 100 is the best you can get. If there are 50 questions on the test, 100 is the best you can get. If there are 500 questions on your test, 100 is the best you can get. So I labored and lived and enjoyed life at a 100-fold level. I believed God for it, and He's blessed me 100-fold. And so I thought, well, this is as good as it gets, until I discovered this verse, and I've given it to you 2-3 weeks ago, Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 11. And may the Lord, the God of your ancestors, multiply you 1,000 times more and bless you as He promised. What God is doing to us this year is exponential in blessing. It's a paradigm shift. It's the difference between addition to your life and multiplication of your life. It works like this. 10 plus 10, if you add 10 and add 10, you get 20. But if you shift gears and go into multiplication, leave addition and go into multiplication, 10 times 10 is 100. Now, 20 is good, 100 is better, a whole lot better. So this verse that exploded, I began asking myself questions like, God, could it be you want to bless me that much more this year? As blessed as I already am, and already where I am right now, I'm blessed. But could it be you want to bless me and bless your people this year 1,000 times more? And I had trouble, still do, searching for words. There are no words. It's indescribable and it's unspeakable. And that's biblical. I was wandering around thinking, oh Lord, I got it in here. I've seen a revelation. It's a part of me now. But I can't get it out. I can't talk about it. And that happened to the Apostle Paul. And it should happen to us. It should happen to me and to you. At some point in our life, we should see the goodness of God in such raw form, in such a fresh way, that we could be like Paul. Paul saw something good in God, and 14 years later, there were no words to talk about it. For 14 years, Paul carried a revelation. He had seen something in the Spirit. And 14 years later, he said, oh, I remember a time, it's been 14 years ago. I don't know whether I was out of the body. Imagine that, an out-of-body experience. Paul said, I don't know if that was it or not. And he said this about that experience. He said he was caught up in the third heaven. And in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 4, Paul talks about how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words. All of us, from time to time, need a revelation that powerful from God. And God has spoken today and said, quote, I can do more than you think I can. This is the year to find out how true that is. Now, I'm expecting great things for you this year, for all of us this year. I read Charisma magazine. It's been around for 30, 40 years maybe. It is one of the leading voices in Christian media in our nation today. And according to Charisma Mag.com, the Apostolic Council of Prophetic Elders meet every year in the fall. They've been doing it for 18 years. And these apostolic and prophetic gifts get together and seek the Lord, and they all issue one statement for the coming year. They do it in a group, rather than one or the other getting credit for a word, They do it in group form. You can find out about it. Google charismamag.com and /2017prophecy. There's a 14-page prophecy that came from this group concerning what God had in mind for 2017. And the bottom line is they declared 2017 to be the year of breakthrough. Are you at a point in your life to where you could almost say, like David did, I was close to giving up? I would have lost heart. I would have totally just gotten out of the way, except I believed I would see, I would see the goodness of the Lord in my lifetime while I'm alive. Before I die and go to heaven and live with Him forever, while I'm still here on the earth, I believe I will see the goodness of the Lord. Then you need a breakthrough. And today can be your day of breakthrough. Now, when it comes to the goodness of God, and the word goodness is found both in Old Testament and New Testament many times, the English language is so limited. It really is a very limited language. The Russian language has three times more words than the English language. The Greek language is by far probably the most colorful language. We have the same word love to describe flip-flops, hot dogs, and your wife. The same word. So to say God is good, that's an understatement in the English language. In the Greek language, the word goodness is what the Greeks call concrete superlative. Concrete superlative. In other words, it would be a better translation, instead of saying goodness in English, when it comes to the goodness of God, it would be better to say the super goodness of God. It's absolutely superlative. Super goodness. It's the quality that entitles the possessor to approval and esteem. Now, we're going this year from one level of the blessing of God, one level of revelation of the goodness of God, to the next level, and it will require the eyes of our understanding being opened that we might see the blessings that are already within our reach. I gave you this scripture last week. Abraham had dismissed Hagar and Ishmael out of his house, and they were cast out to go wandering through the wilderness. And they had reached a point they were starving and thirsting to death. And they collapsed on the ground. They would have died right there of thirst. Death by dehydration. I talked about it last week. But in Genesis 21 and 19, it says, "Then God opened Hagar's eyes, and she saw a well of water." The point last week was God didn't have to dig a well. God didn't have to move her from where she was to where the well was. The point was the well full of water was right there all along, right there close to her, within her reach. She just had not seen the blessing of the Lord that was around her. So as we go to the next level in revelation of the goodness of God, it's important that we see what's already right around us. The blessing that we just have not seen because our eyes have not been opened yet. The blessing was right there, just had not been seen. Now this is important, what we see. This is important because everything that is natural and visible is influenced by that which is spiritual and invisible. I'll say it again. Everything that is natural and visible is influenced by that which is spiritual and invisible. That's why it is so important that the eyes of our understanding be opened that we might see the blessing of the Lord that's already within our reach. It's important what we see. God was so good to Abraham. One day God took him out to a particular place and told him, look, look in every direction. Lift up your eyes and look as far as you can see in every direction. As much as you can see with your eyes, I will give it to you. And Abraham understood this principle that still works for us today. To miss seeing a portion of God's promise is to miss possessing that portion of God's promise. Open our eyes this year that we might see the goodness of the Lord while we're alive in the world. Jesus said in Matthew's gospel, blessed are your eyes, for they see. The Bible tells us to stand still and see the salvation of God. In John chapter 4, Jesus gives this instruction to his disciples. He said, lift up your eyes and look. Solomon and all of his glory, all of the wealth and trappings of his kingdom, word spread throughout the known world of that day of how excellent everything Solomon had was in his kingdom. And the Queen of Sheba heard about it, didn't believe it, and came and made a visit to King Solomon in his kingdom. And the Queen of Sheba said this, I did not believe the words until I came and saw with my own eyes. Job, in the middle of his suffering, said, I have made a covenant with my eyes. David, in the Psalms, said, my eyes are toward the Lord. David also prayed to God in the Psalms and said, open my eyes that I may see wonderful things. And then when Abraham obeyed God in offering Isaac, his son, on an altar of worship, the ram was so important to that story. There had to be a sacrifice on the altar of God. Abraham thought it would be his son Isaac, but when the angel stopped Abraham's hand from killing his son Isaac, the Bible said, then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there was a ram caught in the thicket. Somebody asked Helen Keller one time, what could possibly be worse than being born blind? And she answered and said, to have sight but no vision. There's a lyric in a song. There is none so blind as he who will not see. Now, we're talking this morning about the goodness of God. We need a revelation of just how good God is. And of course, we think we know. But God said, I can do more than you think I can. There are ways He can bless us we've not even realized yet. He is increasing His goodness toward His people, I believe, this year. And any believer is guilty of at least borderline blasphemy if they call into question the goodness of God. Let me go ahead and settle it right now. God is so good. He is the standard for what is good. There is no defect in God. God cannot be improved upon. He's impeccably perfect in every way already. God is good. God is infinitely good. God is unchangeably good. God is not just barely good, and we are not just barely blessed. God is super good, and we are super blessed. Don't call into question the goodness of God. On my worst day, He was good to me. Well, but you don't know what I've been through. Well, you wouldn't have been through it if God hadn't been good to you. You wouldn't have come through. Well, but I've suffered some loss. Well, God was still good. Well, I was disappointed. I didn't get a prayer answered. Well, it wasn't because God ain't good. Well, I live on a planet that's cursed by sin. Yeah, but God's good. All the time. Here's what David said. Good and upright is the Lord. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. The Lord shall give that which is good. They that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. David said, the Lord is good and His mercy is everlasting. He satisfies your mouth with good things. David said, oh God, how great is your goodness. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. He fills the hungry soul with goodness. And when it comes to this year, 2017, the psalmist said, oh God, you crown the year with your goodness. And David is also the one that said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David said, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Moses said it like this in the book of Exodus, the Lord is abundant in goodness. Jeremiah, the Lord spoke through him as a prophet, and God said, my people shall be satisfied with my goodness. Now, the Bible mentions a few things with the adjective good in front of it. Here are some good things mentioned in the Bible. A good servant, good tidings, good works, good cheer, good comfort, good ground, good seed, good treasure, good pleasure, good measure, good report, good deed, good conscience, a good foundation, good soldier, good manners, a good fight, good conversation, and a good steward. I mean, God, when He's in it, anything can be good, super good. Oh, I hate the English language right now. Good. I mean, that's why there are no words. I'm believing that God will give us a revelation that we just can't even talk. It's illegal to even try to talk about it. Paul said, I think I was out of the body. It was that good. I don't even think in my physical body I can handle anything that good, Paul said. 14 years it's been. No, I can't. There are no words. That's a little funny thing here with in our office, because anytime we like to celebrate, you know, but anytime we have a birthday or anniversary, then Pastor Steve or Lisette or I will, you know, we'll give a card. And it's happening in the office over here. And we used to get lengthy and anointed with, you know, dear sister. You know, we thank God, yada, yada, yada. You know, you're the best, yada, yada, yada. Or, dear Pastor Steve, you know, thank God, yada, yada. And now we don't even do it anymore. We just give a card and we write in it, there are no words. There are no words. Look, what God has for us today is not a teaching we cannot be taught. What God has for us today is an impartation. It must be caught, because when it comes to good and God being good, there are no words. He's just super good, and we are super blessed. Here's what the New Testament says about Jesus. He is the good master. He is the good shepherd. And the Bible says He went about doing good. There are no words. I'm about through because there are no words. When it comes to the goodness of God, you just can't put it into words. The Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from God. So, if it's not good and perfect, it didn't come from God. Every good. I've been loaded down every day of my life with benefits and blessings of knowing God. T.D. Jakes said it, and I love the way he said it. I have profited in every area of my life from knowing Jesus as my Lord. He's been good to us. He has lavished us with so many good and perfect gifts. They came straight from His hand and found their way into our lives. Even when I don't deserve Him to be good to me, He's still God and He's still good to me. Now, I can only speak for myself. I can't speak for you. But if I were God, I wouldn't have blessed Carl as much as Carl is blessed. Carl didn't deserve it. God will not allow His goodness to be held hostage by our flaws and imperfections. God is not going to put off being good until you get your act together. Now, this is good right here now. I thought I was about done, but I feel a second wind. God ain't going to wait until you get your house together before He decides to be good to you. God's going to be good to you even before you even think about straightening up. His goodness is who He is. He's good even when He deals with something in me that's not good. He's good. And the Bible says, and some of us, this really was a blessing to me many years ago, because if you're thinking, well, God's good to me. I mean, He really should be, because, you know, after all, I found Him and I surrendered my life to Him. So, yeah, I mean, He should be good to me after that. I read this verse one day a long time ago, and it said something to me. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. You wasn't even good enough to find Him. You didn't find Him. You didn't find Him. He found you, and in His goodness, He led you to a place where you repented. I'll tell you how good God is. God gets involved in a sinner's life way before he gets saved. Some people think the Holy Spirit gets involved in our life the moment we're born again. Oh, no, the Holy Spirit was involved long before that, drawing you. Drawing you. Hey, even when you didn't believe there was a Holy Spirit, He was drawing you. It's His goodness. The goodness of God. And I'm going to close with this just to drive the point home of how good God can be. Let me just tell you, by contrast, you have an enemy. We have an enemy, and he's on the loose. He's out seeking whom he may devour. He's a thief. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's on his business card. If the devil had a business card, I steal, kill, and destroy. Call me when you need it done. That's what he does. So we do have him as a common enemy. And so all of us in here have been targets for evil. There has been an assignment against each of us at some point in our life. The devil has been on the job for a while now. And so all of us have been targeted by evil. Joseph knew what that's like. His own brothers were evil to him. His own brothers were so jealous of him that they sold him to a foreign country as a slave just to make a few bucks. And that way they could line their pockets a little bit. But the bigger picture of them is they got rid of that brother that they were so jealous of. They thought, well, we'll never have to worry about Joseph anymore. And we made a few bucks while we were at it. Fast forward a few years, Joseph's in a foreign land, and God blesses him there. God's good even when you're in a foreign land. God's good. And he was the most powerful person in the nation. And his nation was being blessed with food while other nations were in famine. And Joseph is sitting on a throne one day with all of the power that he had, all of the food in his wealthy nation, and sees foreigners from starving countries coming begging for food to take back to feed their families. Joseph looked, and there were his brothers. The same brothers who had practically killed him, sold him as a slave. They didn't even think Joseph would be alive now. They didn't know they were about to see Joseph. They didn't know they were about to see the brother that God had been good to, in spite of their being evil toward him. And so they come before Joseph and they said, we don't blame you if you kill us. After we did what we did for you, we came begging for food. We didn't even know you would be alive anymore. We don't blame you if you don't give us any. We don't even blame you if you have us executed for what we did to you. I mean, all of us have been targeted with that kind of evil. And Joseph was able to say, because he had a revelation of the goodness of God, Joseph was able to look at his brothers who had stabbed him in the back and said, you meant this for evil, but God meant it for good. That's how good God is. He can take an evil assignment that's been targeted toward you, get involved in that evil thing, and turn it around so much to where you'll say, God did something good with all that. I could write a book about how good God's been to me. I've got so many chapters in there, and you do too. You have a story to tell. I'm not exclusive by any means on that. I mean, I could write a book. It would become a movie, and probably Brad Pitt would play me. Oh, Jesus, I know. We should have dismissed 2 minutes ago. I know what it is to be in another nation and hear a bomb go off and destroy a building one block away in the middle of the night. And God was good to me. I know what it is to lose a house that you thought was yours, but because of somebody else's legal problems, you get a letter from the court saying that you have no interest in that house. You've lost everything you've invested, and God gave it back. I got chapters of how many times something evil was coming my way, and God was so good, he got involved in it and turned it around. And before it was over, before God was finished with it, it wasn't evil at all. It was something super good for me. That's how good God is. We need to celebrate in his house today the absolute certainty of God's goodness toward our lives. Stand with me, please. Everybody stand. I'd like for the men and women who are available to pray for you now to come and find their place at the front of the church. Our prayer team, men and women who